AFM Passport Auto Group Studios. It's the Don Crow Show on 105.1 FM WAVA.
The Don Crow Show is brought to you in part by AActionHomeServices.com. Did you know 12 years is the life expectancy of a water heater? Now get half-price water heaters from A-Action Home Services. That's right, half-price water heaters. Call 703-922-1900. That's 703-922-1900. Again, 703-922-1900. And a Merry Christmas to all of you here from WAVA and the Don Crow Show. Great to have you with us as always. Monday through Friday, we talk about stuff going on in the world, give you a chance to get involved as well. And I do want to thank you for your continuing investing in TWR, Trans World Radio. Your gifts of any amount are helping put that 200,000-watt transmitter right on the Silk Road, the ancient Silk Road in Central Asia. A lot of you have been giving to that. Thank you. We still have a challenge in front of us to finish the job. So if you want to call 800-880-4897, it's that easy. 800-880-4897 with a gift of any amount or online WAVA.com, keyword silk. Every so often here on Fridays during this second hour of the show, our final hour for Friday, we have something called Meet the Pastor, and it's designed as a means of introducing you, our WAVA listeners, some of the pastors and Christian leaders and their ministries here in our listening area, Maryland District and Northern Virginia. And I'm very, very happy to welcome Dennis Karp back to the show once again. We had a brief visit recently. Dennis is congregational leader of the Son of David congregation, which meets every Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. in Silver Spring, Maryland. Dennis, thank you so much, my friend, for coming in on a busy Friday afternoon to chat again for a bit.
Thank you for having me. It's a blessing.
Talk, if you would, first. I like to have pastors and church leaders tell their own story first. How, and in yours is not the usual story, we might say, because of your background and your heritage and your ethnicity, for that matter. Talk about how you were drawn to God and drawn to Christ.
Well, I guess the story would have to go back to when I was a kid, raised in a very traditional Jewish home, going to services Friday nights, Saturday mornings, all the holidays. I was raised to be a cantor or someone who was chanting all the services in the synagogue. But by the time I turned 18 years old, synagogue life had become more than just boring. It had just become totally non-spiritual. I couldn't wait to get away. And so the age of 18, right in the middle of the hippie age, I left home, went to school, and searched for, I guess, what you would call the meaning of life. My search took me a lot of places that I'm not very proud of, but every place I went, I found no answer. And so I finally figured out, I thought, that the answer to life was to have a pretty wife, a couple kids, and a nice retirement, and I set out to do that. And I did a pretty good job of it. I have a beautiful wife. We've been married now for 36 years. We have five children now, although at the time when I came to faith, we only had two. But in my search, I had a business associate. I was in the commercial insurance industry who called me up one day, and it's almost as if he was sitting at his desk with a script in front of him. And he said, "Dennis?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "We're going to have a Jewish man at our church on Sunday, and he's going to speak about Jesus and the Passover. And the pastor told us to invite all our Jewish friends. You want to come?" And for some reason, I said, "Yes." You know, that's not exactly your seeker-sensitive invitation to the gospel.
Wasn't the smoothest approach. Huh?
Yeah. And so this was the week before Palm Sunday of 1992. And I went home, and I told Tina that our friend had invited us. And she said, "Sure, we can go." Tina had come to faith as a young kid, but was never really discipled in her life at all. She knew who Jesus was. She prayed to him. But that's about how deep her faith was at that time. And so Palm Sunday 1992, we woke up fighting. Now, we didn't go to bed fighting, but we woke up fighting. And it was pretty nasty, to be honest with you. We fought getting dressed. We fought at the kitchen table having breakfast. We fought on the way to the church. We were fighting in the parking lot of the church when I saw my friend from the foyer waving. And I remember sticking my hand up out of the window and saying, "Well, I guess we can't leave now." And in we went to what could be described as one of the most boring churches you could ever imagine. I mean, there were either four or five people there younger than me. Three of them were my family. The pews were yawning in anticipation of the service. But the message just hit me. Mm. And I wish I could say it hit me positively. It hit me negatively. Because I found out things about the Messiah. I found out things about the Passover meal and how it foreshadowed his coming that I didn't know. And I thought I knew everything. I was condescending, stuck up, arrogant. And I went to the fellow who shared it, a Jewish believer who works with Chosen People Ministries. And I said, we need to talk. And he came over to my house every week for about 8 weeks on Wednesday afternoons so I could ask him any question that I wanted. And my goal was to prove him wrong. And so I would say, well, what about this? And he'd say, well, let's see what the Hebrew Scriptures have to say. Next week, what about this? Well, let's see what the Hebrew Scriptures have to say. This went on for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and I was getting pretty frustrated, to say the least, because I wanted to debate Scott, and he had me debating Moses and the prophets, which is not exactly fair. But I finally came to the point where he had answered all these questions. Basically, the questions, the answers to the questions were the gospel out of the Hebrew Scriptures. But I still didn't believe, and I asked him, well, if all this is true, how come he hasn't been here yet? And he said, well, let's see what the Hebrew Scriptures have to say. And we did a study in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. In that chapter is what's called the prophecy of the 70 weeks, which takes you from the writing of a decree by the king of Persia all the way up to the destruction of the temple, which was in 70 AD. And it predicts the death of the Messiah before the destruction of the temple. I have no more arguments, but I still don't believe because I'm too intellectually smart for that, if you know what I mean. Mm. Well, I had been going to their services on Saturday mornings all of this time because I was just so curious. And the Saturday after that study in the book of Daniel was the Saturday closest to May 14th, 1992. And what they celebrated at the congregation that day was the anniversary of Israel declaring itself a nation again among the nations, the anniversary from May 14, 1948. And in the middle of the worship service, we all stood up and we sang Israel's national anthem. In Hebrew, the title is HaTikvah. The English translation is The Hope. And in the middle of singing that national anthem, everything came together. My heart softened. The Spirit talked to my spirit, and I knew that I needed a Savior, and I claimed Yeshua, Jesus, as my personal Savior.
Powerful. God has a way of getting past all our defenses, doesn't he?
He does.
We're going to take a break, come back, more, much more that we'd like you to stay with us for as we really talk about a journey, not only for my friend here, who is the congregational leader for a great ministry known as Son of David Congregation, but Dennis Karp's own story as to how God led him from that point to what he's doing today, and much more. Stay with us.